Gotta get up, gotta get out, gotta get home. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, welcome to another edition of Vegas Nonstop. I am your co-host, Jeffrey with a G. In studio with us today from the famous boxing gym, Johnny Tocos, we have trainer Luis Monda. From the star of Zombie Burlesque, we have Enoch Scott.
Yay, I got mail.
Longtime friend of the show, former Major League Baseball pitcher and world-renowned illustrator, Neil Portnoy.
Always a pleasure to be in.
And running the Goat Rodeo with me here for the last 10-plus years, the Master of Mayhem, the Wizard of Whoopi, the Ambassador of Fun, Jonathan J. Scott.
Jeffrey with a G, line one, go ahead. Boys and girls, moms and dads, and children of all ages.
I don't want to do that.
Well, whether you want to or
not. I don't want children listening to us.
The joke is children of all ages. So you can be an adult and still be childlike.
So why don't we just say children of all ages and just eliminate moms and dads?
You're the one that started even doing it.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it was a circus kind of a thing. And life is a circus. And we have my little brother, Enoch Augustus Scott, joining us for the first time in the radio station.
I'm excited. I wore a sports t-shirt just on account of it.
He's a Dukie.
Yeah, I went to Duke University. I'm a Dukie. I never went to a basketball game. Don't hate me.
You never went to one game?
I tried to go to one. I was a theater major, first of all. So just wrap that into the equation. And then I tried to go to one game, but we smoked too much pot and was already full. So
you got to see one Duke North Carolina game in your lifetime if you're going to school there.
I didn't. So I guess what? I die now?
No.
Anyway, I am Jonathan Scott. This is Vegas Nonstop, and we are on 920 AM Radio The Game. Also on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts. And, of course, you can visit our website at VegasNonstop.com. Jeffrey, you know as well as everybody that it was my birthday last week.
No, stop it. Was it really?
And we took the week off because of it. And I want to thank everyone who wished me a happy birthday this week. And I asked everyone how we met and for an interesting or funny story about our time together. And here's a few of the best that I would like to just share.
The best of the best.
To share with our audience. My little brother, actor Enoch Augustus Scott, of course, in studio. And I'm going to talk about some of the time that we spent together that wasn't in the radio but was in the ladies' room at the world-famous Double Down Saloon drinking ass juice.
Ass juice.
And which I'm going to push
on
the
a
envelope
Friday.
Here. Yeah. Ew. We used to do a lot of day drinking, as I remember. But
Or don't remember, as the case may be. I just want you to talk about Al Lewis. I'm just putting that in there right now.
Oh, Al Lewis. Oh,
no, Grandpa Munster. The only reason I'm here is because Jonathan Scott promised to share with me some fantastic Grandpa Munster stories.
Yes, yes. Al Lewis, ladies and gentlemen. I may as well do it now. I met Al Lewis at the Jenny Jones Show when I officed at NBC studio in Chicago with Danny Bonaducci and Judy Tenuta.
It doesn't get any better than that.
And talk about a threesome.
Danny was in trouble beating up a transvestite.
What?
No, yes. Never.
Yes. Well, he was in a bar and had a few cocktails.
What?
And was getting intimate with what he thought was a woman.
Oh, boy.
Until he found out.
Don't want no more of the crying game. Don't want no more of the crying game.
And he dropped her. He punched her in the face, and the police came, and he went to jail. And so that's why they made him a judge of this transvestite beauty contest on the Jenny Jones Show.
That's funny.
With Grandpa Munster, Al Lewis, and Judy Tenuta.
Oh, my Lord.
And Al Lewis just told us jokes nonstop in the green room. And I'll tell you one of them, which is a very visual, not great for radio. But he said a new baby was born. This is Al Lewis. And he said the baby called the nurse over and said, "Are you my daddy?" And the nurse said, "No." And the baby called the doctor over and said, "Are you my daddy?" And the doctor said, "No." And he saw a guy standing there and said, "Are you my daddy?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Come closer, come closer." And the baby said, "Are you my daddy?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "Now you know what it feels like." He's banging the guy on the head. I had to describe the story. And then I met Al again with Al Goldstein. From Screw Magazine, invited me to New York. There was a place Mort Cooperman had called the Downtown Country Bar. It was in Midtown Manhattan.
I think my dad reminded you of it when he was
did.
Here
he did, because we were talking about Mort Cooperman. And they did the Full Monty. It was the time that the movie The Full Monty came out. And it was Al Lewis. It was Al Goldstein. It was former Mayor Ed Koch. And then they were doing the Full Monty and Kinky Friedman and the Texas Jew Boys. So what? That was.
What do you mean they were doing the Full Monty? They got completely naked?
No, they went down to their boxers. They went down to their boxers.
Nothing like
license.
Mayor Ed Koch and
Mayor
his boxers.
Ed Koch and his boxers.
And Al Lewis.
Al Lewis.
How did you keep your lunch?
And I keep my, well, I drank most of my lunch and my dinner, and it was just for laughs, and it was very, very funny time. And Al Lewis had a bar in Manhattan called Grandpa's.
Great.
Yeah, and we would go to, you know, he was there all the time drinking. Anyway, here's a few of the stories that people wrote about my birthday. Richard Giacovino, my cameraman from NBC, wrote, "We met at that portable Hollywood gun range where you were able to demo a bunch of weapons for a Vegas Nonstop episode. As I recorded you, shell casings were hitting me in the face and left a slice mark on my face. Also, you fired a ridiculously large 500 caliber Smith & Wesson Magnum handgun. The recoil was so much for you to handle, and you blew a hole through the ceiling. You put the gun down after that one, and the folks on the second floor were never heard from again." Now, Richard Giacovino took that video footage, and he made it into a 20-second promo piece to put it on the air. I was on the Morning Blend at the time. I was on the Morning Blend for 4 years. And then the sponsor called and said, "Could you please pull that off the air, because we're all about gun safety." And I was far from being gun safety. And like a week after that, I don't know if you remember the story, a young 12-year-old girl actually killed a guy at a firing range because they gave this 12-year-old girl an automatic rifle. And it was like a week after they pulled my promo spot off.
Which is more dangerous, the 12-year-old girl or you with the rifle?
An automatic weapon. My friend Linda Matlow in Chicago wrote, "We met in the 70s when you were doing a show at the Sabre Room with Danny and the Juniors, and they were one of the bands on stage. And I went, 'Linda, that show was like going to hell.' I remember they were doing like two shows a day for 4 days. And I remember asking Danny from Danny and the Juniors, 'Let's go to the Hoppo, baby,' if he was kept singing the same song over and over for 40 years if he ever got tired of it. And a few years later, he killed himself." So I guess he got tired of going to the
Hop. Do any of your stories not end in death?
Are any of these happy stories? Remember, these are for your birthday, right?
My friend Marty,
a 12-year-old girl is a murderer, and the guy who's saying, "Let's go to the Hop," killed himself.
Danny and the Juniors.
He's like the SI curse.
If memory serves me, my friend Marty Zitlin. And
John Madden curse.
It's a little fuzzy. We met at Cablevision of Chicago in the early 80s at a meeting where you were pitching ideas for public access TV shows. What I absolutely remember is meeting a man who could sell ice to Eskimos. Marty Zitlin was the first one to put me on television. A woman named Sharon...
And that Eskimo died.
Nobody died. Sharon Zuckley Motel. "I'll never forget when you took over the PA system at a Glen Allen baseball tournament to do play-by-play. Since you usually sat in a lawn chair smoking a cigar, I had no idea you were such an entertainer. Couldn't escape the public service announcements, though. I remember tourney runners even had you announce the 50-50 pot winners." They weren't winning pot, but it was my son was playing, and I just took over the mic.
Thomas, and his son killed somebody.
He killed somebody. Thomas Rojas, guitar player. "We met in a lady's bathroom. When I walked in, there was an iPhone taped to the wall recording all of the activities.
Same.
And some seedy individuals all drinking some sort of ass-related alcohol from small toilet bowl-shaped cups. There was a famous porn star in the room, and my mind quickly turned thinking of scenarios that would not end well for a married man." That was Ron Jeremy. I don't know if you were there that week.
I wasn't there for Ron Jeremy.
"I had my guitar with me to fend off any inappropriate behavior." Here's one I really like. Nikki Sands writes, "It was a few years back at a party. You were across the room, and instantly our eyes locked together. I almost went cross-eyed staring at you, slowly crossed the room with two glasses of champagne in your hands. As you approached me, I lowered my eyes, a bit flushed. Oh, wait, that was John Stamos. Sorry, Jonathan. I mentioned the Arts Factory in Michael Wardle's room. It was a long time ago." And I write back, "Nikki, I often get mistaken for John Stamos." And Nikki writes, "I can understand that mistake. Must be difficult at parties." Jeffrey Kramer writes, "Vegas sports nuts." He's not one of many words. He just wants to put the location.
You knew what I meant.
I know what you meant.
And that's exactly where we met.
So I had someone else that was a regular, a friend of ours, that was hosting the Vegas sports show.
Just during football season.
Yeah, and we were doing remotes. And
in
it was
the
just
back
during
room
football,
of a bar.
Back room in a bar. And my favorite story about our friend Mario was, and this is a terrible story, but I tell the kids when I'm teaching the kids broadcasting that we were on the air and we were on live. And our friend Mario said, he was from New York, and said, "John, can we," it was time during the time of the Columbine shooting.
It was later.
Whatever. He says, "Can we have a minute of silence for the kids that were killed in the shooting?" And I looked at him. I said, "Not on radio."
Oh, wow.
You can't have a minute of silence on radio. Rich Soltis writes, I was on a black ops mission in Cambodia. It was just minor work,
how
nothing
much
serious.
Death but I and went destruction are involved in these stories.
I like how your voice goes up.
But I went
like Jiminy,
Jiminy
Glick.
Cricket.
Like Jiminy Glick.
Or Michael Pollitz, one of the two.
How many stories?
I was on a black ops mission in Cambodia. It was just minor work, nothing serious, but I went to an underground kickboxing event. Apparently, sports in Cambodia is all about gambling, and gambling is illegal. So when they do have any live sports, the location is kept secret. But I was at an event, and you were sitting next to me. I thought it was crazy that you and I met 14,000 miles from home in an underground, somewhat illegal event in a third world communist country. But there you were. Oh, wait. No, that was another guy. Dang, I don't think we've ever met.
Oh, damn. I was hoping you had been to the... And that Jean-Claude Van Damme was there.
I like
is
the
this
Black
a plot,
Ops
blood
stories.
Sport? I don't...
I like the Black Ops story. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
Anyway, these are a few of the notes. Scott Schleicher writes, I think we met at Big Dog's Draft House shortly after that. We had a discussion about Super Bowl 52. I was arguing that Nick Foles was a lot better than what the talking heads were saying about him and that the Eagles had a good chance to beat the Patriots. You told me they had no chance whatsoever. Always wanted the chance to tell you, I told you so, LOL. All right, Scott, you're a cool dad with great kids and a great appreciation of awesome music. I'm a Bears fan, and I don't have a dog in the fight.
Are those sports references?
Those were sports references, and those I want to thank everybody for all the notes and kind wishes and fun stories. So that was that. That was my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a fun week. I thank Melissa for making it a wonderful birthday. We had a great dinner. We were going to go see Wayne Newton, but Wayne canceled on Wednesday. He didn't feel well or something like that.
Son of a...
So we didn't get to hear Dankeschön.
Will you be okay?
But I invite. Yes, we'll go another time. Enoch, there's changes in the various circus type
what?
Variety shows in Las Vegas.
What?
I'm going to segue right into show business here because you're the star of a show and
I am.
And you've been in for five. Were you?
I've been in this town. I've been Zombie since it opened 6 years, over 6 years now, and then in this town for 18 years almost.
So for those who've never seen Zombie Burlesque, can you describe the show?
It's zombies doing burlesque. It's definitely got a 19.
I could have said that.
No, listen, honey, you don't know how many people come and go, I didn't know what to expect. Well, the name is Zombie Burlesque. Get a dictionary. So it's got a kind of 50s vintage feel to it. The whole idea is that there's been a zombie human war and there's been a truce. And as long as the humans give zombies prisoners' bodies to eat, then the zombies won't eat the humans. And so this is the... So because there's a truce, zombies are going to human clubs and humans are coming to zombie clubs. And it's the first time humans have ever come to this particular zombie burlesque club. And zombies... Hilarity ensues. There's great songs, great girls. There's three girl dancers, three boy dancers, a great girl singer, Sophia Monica, who's with Pussycat Dolls. And
now you've got the Jets...
Now the Jets are before us singing Crush on You every day. Mm-hmm. It's a busy little theater. It's a fun little show. I don't know if it's right for a theater, but it's a great show. They do a great job. It's more like a lounge act. But,
and it is at Saks Theater, right?
Saks, V Theater.
V Theater at Planet
Around
H.
the corner. Planet Hollywood, Around Miracle Mile. 8:30 every night. Come and see us. Two shows on Saturday.
Have you seen Atomic Saloon yet?
I have seen Atomic Saloon show. Do you know its abbreviations is ASS? Atomic Saloon Show. Speaking of ass juice,
I didn't ever put that together, but I love the show. I thought it was fun.
I thought it was fantastic. I saw it with Sarah Lowe. I saw the understudy, mm-hmm. I love Sarah Lowe, and it was her first night, I guess, doing the role of the host, the female singer, whatever her name is, the redhead, the sort of Reba McEntire character.
Yeah.
And she was fantastic. The show's great. It's raunchy and funny.
It is raunchy.
I don't even know if I can say what the opening number is about.
No, you can't.
Colin Cahill.
Colin Cahill.
I love him too because he came up through the ranks in Vegas, and I always love it when somebody who sort of came up through the ranks gets a shot at a big show like that.
Yeah, it's doing well.
And he's killing it. They're doing great. What's funny is it's super... I don't know if you felt this way when you saw it, but I thought it's like a competitor for Chippendales or Magic Mike. It's got a lot of male flesh in it.
It does
have
that.
I think if they market it that way a little bit more, it's marketed really oddly, I think. I can't say peculiarly this early.
Peculiarly. That's a tough word. Yeah.
It is a tough word.
Well, we were in the front row, and we got messed with, you know, because of your...
Did he call you, were you John Wayne or whatever?
I think I had to eat noodles out of somebody's mouth,
which was
scary.
Normally one has to go to Chinatown for that.
I don't know. What is your favorite Cirque du Soleil show and why?
My favorite Cirque show, I don't know. Love is, I like different ones for different reasons. Ka is fun. It's like a video game, but it gets a little sleepy. Love is heart achingly beautiful.
I love that.
That's
one.
My favorite. That's my favorite.
The music, I'm not even a Beatles fan, but the music is so well done, and it visually, it is just gorgeous. Zumanity is fun, but a little distant. You know, for something that's supposed to be sexy, I feel
it's
like
not.
It's not.
I didn't find it. There was nothing in there that shocked me at all.
It's kind of cold almost. It doesn't quite have the thing that Absinthe or that Spiegelworld has down great is that sexy raw in your face. I think Zombie.
Yeah,
has a little
bit of
that
get
too.
To that. The newest Cirque show Run didn't make it. It got canceled.
What?
No.
Yeah. It's closed.
I see them advertising on the show.
No, it's closing.
It's closing.
In a month.
Didn't make it.
Didn't make it.
I never got it. I haven't seen it.
No.
Wow.
Neither have I. But I saw a show that was similar with this running man kind of a thing on a treadmill.
Flares of Bruto was the worst thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
That show. Yeah.
It was awful.
Yeah, that was a terrible show.
I'm sorry if you were in it. I'm sorry if you know people who were in it, but it was not a good show.
So, and I heard that that bit with the running man is in Run.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Then I won't be there.
Yeah, to me, it was just like performance art.
Yeah, but without a point. And performance art has to have a point. I won't go in.
Well, I would agree with you that Absinthe is the hands-down favorite in what I call a circus variety show.
I actually like Opium and... I prefer Opium and Atomic Saloon Show to Absinthe.
I do?
I'll tell you what. I feel like, well, first of all Spiegelworld did is take the Cirque model, the European circus, and make it dirty. And stick it in like a TGI Fridays.
Yeah.
Right? Like the Absinthe tent feels like a TGI Fridays. I'm not a super big fan of rape humor. So Absinthe gets a little out there for me.
I don't remember that part of the show. It's been a while.
But there's
Melody Sweets was in it when I saw it.
Oh, I'm sure that's all you were staring at.
We love Melody.
Is she still in it?
No. But we still love Melody Sweets.
I like Opium. I think Opium is more fun and more in. It's more.
We saw it when our friend Ronnie Foster was in it with the live music. For
I know
Opium.
They cut
the live band out. Yeah, but I liked it. I'll tell you, when we went to see Opium, there's a pre-show, kind of a naughty little pre-show bit in Opium, and there was a couple sitting in the front, and this dancer put her legs around the guy's neck. And his date was just fuming. And 10 minutes in, they left the show.
You don't know how many times, because, you know, hosting Zombie Burlesque. Yeah. And it's not even that much. You know what I'm saying? But how many women just sit there for the first 10 minutes getting stank eye? And then I think they warm up most of them. But some people do leave. Some people just can't. It's like, why did you, A, come to Vegas?
Right.
B, go to a titty show. Can I say that?
No.
topless.
We're pressing it.
Topless.
With
topless show.
Fix it in post.
I know. I never understand why uptight people come to these shows and then have the nerve to get upset. But
Book of Mormon. I saw Book of Mormon and intermission. A couple in front of us left. You know, they were insulted by Book of Mormon. I'm like, didn't you know where you were going? I guess not.
Didn't you read a Yelp review or anything?
Yeah. Now, have you seen Celestia at the Strat?
Is that still open?
And I don't know why or how. I guess the only reason is that it's got a family value with tickets starting at $29.
It was good. I had a good time.
I mean, it's another circus in a tent kind of a show.
Can I tell you my favorite part of seeing Celestia? When I saw it, a drunk lady, because it's in a tent, right?
Yeah.
This drunk lady just wandered in to the tent, wandered across not the stage, but like in front of the stage the whole way. Before an usher ever got to her or anything.
And then I love that.
She was trying to just, you know.
We love our drunks here in Vegas.
Can you imagine you're in Las Vegas wandering around drunk and you wander into a Cirque-esque show?
Yeah. And there you go. Now you've got a side project coming up.
Baritones of Love.
I got it right. It is Baritones
of
Love.
I'm one of the founding members of Baritone Loves, one of the creators of Baritones of Love. We won the Best of the Fringe Festival last year at Las Vegas Little Theater. We just performed at the Starbright Theater in Summerlin, courtesy of Miss Mistin Get. We sold out completely. And now we're trying to book it at the Italian American Club. I'm trying to get it on boats and stuff. But it's a rip on the tenors. It's like four baritones who wish they could play Branson, but the tenors always get the gig.
So the dates again of the show?
We don't know when we're trying to work it out with Italian American Club.
No, but you have a current show coming up, don't you?
No, well, that's the town we're trying to book it, but we haven't quite figured out. Because I'm working with some of the best in town. They're busy. Our schedules are crazy.
I think I know who you're impersonating.
It did sound a little bit like him,
you
didn't
did
it?
You did.
This is the best. It's the biggest. It's the most baritones you've ever seen. John DiDomenico will have to help me, but...
Enoch Augustus Scott starring in Zombie Burlesque at Planet Hollywood at the V Theater every night of the week.
Six nights a week, dark on Sundays. Come down and see me.
That's it. You're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on 920 The Game. We're going to take a short commercial break and come on back and talk about boxing with our friend Luis Manda. Stay right where you are. Jonathan Scott with Vegas Nonstop here on 920 The Game. Also available on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and of course, you can visit our website at VegasNonstop.com. Here's a few things happening this week in Las Vegas. If you've never seen our friend George Wallace perform, and even if you have, our friend George brilliantly tells stories and meets the audience every night in a brand new show. George Wallace is at the Westgate performing Tuesday through Saturdays at 8 p.m. Dr. George Wallace. Tool Time and Last Man Standing TV star Tim Allen, whose real name is Tim Dick, entertains Friday and
Saturday.
Can't
imagine why he changed it to Allen.
At the Terry Fader Theater at the Mirage. Tickets start at $65.39. Thursday through Sundays, 8 p.m., Miss Dionne Warwick performs at Cleopatra's Barge at Caesars, singing most of her 26 number one hit songs. Intimate setting. You really get a feeling of vintage Vegas in a room that only holds 200 guests. Enjoy Dionne Warwick. She's amazing. I've seen it three times now. Wednesday through February 29th, Harry Connick Jr. is back at the Encore Theater at the Wynn playing piano, singing material from the Great American Songbook, and, of course, New Orleans jazz. Tickets start at $59.50. Cher is back at the Park Theater now through February 29th, singing all of her hit songs, changing hair and costumes, hearing I Got You, Babe. Reminds me of the movie Groundhog Day with Bill Murray. Mariah Carey performs Friday, Saturday, and Wednesday at Caesars. Wednesday, 9 p.m. through March 7th, Christina Aguilera performs at the Zappos Theater at Planet H. Tickets start at only $40, so you can take your pick, Cher, Mariah, or Christina, all here in Las Vegas at the same time. Las Vegas, still the entertainment capital of North America and the world. Saturday, 9 p.m., here's one for you rockers, and you know who you are. Poison frontman Brett Michaels gets NASCAR fans all revved up at the annual Race Jam at Fremont Street Experience, and it is F-R-E-E free. That's Saturday, 9 p.m. for Brett Michaels. Congratulations to our friends Vinny and the Bronx Wanderers on their new home at Harrah's Showroom, sharing the room with the Righteous Brothers Wednesday through Monday at 8 p.m. In the What's Eating You department, Charlie Palmer's Steak at the Four Seasons still offers the best fine dining special in Las Vegas with their weekly chef's cut menu of a three-course steak dinner, bottomless wine for only $58. Valet parking is free at the Four Seasons. Make a reservation, Charlie Palmer's Steak at the Four Seasons. The new backyard at Ellis Island on Cowal Lane is now serving brunch from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Weekends with live entertainment. The menu includes smoked bacon, eggs Benedict with three eggs and house-cured bacon on thick country bread for only $9.99. The Caprice omelet with fresh mozzarella, heirloom tomatoes, and basil for $8.99. And bottomless mimosas all day for $20.
Did you say Caprice salad?
What am I supposed to say?
Caprese?
Okay, Caprese. Caprese. You're making me Caprese.
Caprese, yo.
I've heard it both ways. That's the backyard at Ellis Island. Look up to the sky all weekend and enjoy over 30 hot air balloons at the Pahrump Balloon Festival at Petrac Park in Pahrump. Do you say Pahrump or Pahrumph?
Pahrump.
Yeah. The weekend includes carnival games, rides, animal rides for the kiddies, a rodeo-free admission. Go to the website for more info at visitpahrump.com. Monday, 6 p.m., the Golden Tiki on Spring Mountain hosts its third celebration of Don the Beachcomber with guest bartenders and lots of live surf music. $10 specialty tiki drinks. Guests are encouraged to wear tiki attire. That's the Golden Tiki on Spring Mountain. Movie pick of the week is Call of the Wild, starring Harrison Ford in a computer-generated Buck the Dog based on the 1903 Jack London book that we all had to read in school. Listen to us here, of course, on 9:20 a.m., Saturday mornings, 8 a.m., or on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, or on our website at VegasNonstop.com. Big fight coming up Saturday night. Jeffrey with a G, Line 1. You want to talk about it with our friend Luis?
Yeah, we have a big heavyweight rematch between Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. Going to be here at actually MGM Grand Garden Arena. Two big boys that fought, what, 2 years? Was it 2 years ago they fought?
Yeah, about that.
And they fought to a draw.
Yeah.
A lot of people actually thought that Tyson had won that fight. But, you know, he got caught with a massive right.
He got caught with a right and then a left hook on
correct,
the way down.
Correct, the combo. Yeah. And that would have killed most people.
Yep.
And he got up. I mean, this guy's got a jaw. I mean, he could take a hit. So I think Wilder's going to have a different strategy this time. I don't think he's going to get caught off guard with Fury's sort of unorthodox style. I'd love to hear what you have to say, Coach.
I'm going with Wilder. My personal opinion is that Mark Breland and Deontay are not as dumb as people think. because, you know, we get a lot of criticism about Deontay Wilder's style, but he's very calculated in how he sets his shots up.
He is a smart fighter.
Yeah, and if a lot of people, even in boxing, have forgotten how Breland fought. Because if you look up Mark Breland, he was one of the U.S.'s most decorated amateurs. He's a welterweight champion, I believe, if not 140. Wilder actually fights a lot like the way he fought.
Explain to the listeners what you mean, like the way he fought, where it's kind of unorthodox.
Well, Breland was tall, lanky, quick hands, and good power for his size, and he liked you to stay far away from him.
So he used that jab.
He would use the left hand to keep you at a distance and then bomb the power shots if you stayed out there that far. And Wilder tends to do the same thing. In the second Luis Ortiz fight, people were saying that, oh, Wilder was getting dominated. And like, I didn't see that. I saw a calculated knockout puncher setting his opponent up.
By drawing him in?
By just probing and making sure he's staying in the right spot. And then when he wanted to,
the right,
turn the lights out.
I got you. Yeah. Let's talk about Tyson Fury. You know, given his unorthodox style, I mean, this dude's a big, this is a big man. We know he could take a punch.
Yeah.
Wilder's going to have to change his approach, I think, this time around.
Right.
What do you think he's going to do differently?
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, I think Breland and Wilder are smart enough to do that. And the second time he fought Berman Stiverne, he fought off the back. The first time he fought him, he fought off the back foot.
We're talking about Wilder.
Yeah, he actually boxed that fight because Berman put a lot of forward pressure on him. So he's shown adaptability. In the second Ortiz fight, he set him up instead of going to war with him because he realized that going to war with Luis Ortiz was a bad idea. He got hurt in the first fight. So I don't know exactly what they're going to do different. Perhaps go to the body more, you know, try to slow Tyson Fury down because he's got good feet, you know, good legs. He moves around the ring really well. So probably try to slow him down in the opening rounds. I can only speak from how I would approach it. Mm-hmm. But I think Breland and Wilder have proven that they can handle having to adjust.
Now, right now, Wilder's a slight favorite here in Las Vegas. I think he's like minus 125 right now. Mm-hmm. I think he could take Fury at like minus 105. In terms of the length of the fight, do you see this going the distance?
That
over under 10 and a half rounds.
It's really hard to say. If you're a betting man, even though Wilder's a favorite, I'd put money on him as a KO because that has a high percentage chance of happening,
yeah,
even though it's probably not going to be predicted.
Mm-hmm.
Because since Fury made it out of the first fight, people are generally going to think he's going to make it out of the second one.
Right, and they're not anticipating Wilder and his team. I'm sorry, Wilder and his team, adjusting and probably taking Tyson out a little earlier.
Yeah.
What does Tyson have to do to get to Wilder?
Don't get hit.
Wilder's minus 130 and Fury's plus 110.
Okay, yeah, I said minus 125. I mean, give or take. I actually bet I bet Wilder by decision.
Yeah.
And that's 8-1. So I just took a shot on that. And I thought that would be interesting if they went the distance again.
He has gone the distance.
And you love betting the draw.
I love betting the
draw. And that's still 20-1. So, yeah. You know, you want to put $50 on there at 20-1, you're going to win $1,000. So,
yep.
How do you see this fight going the distance or ending earlier?
I think it's like a 50-50. If it ends early, it's going to be in Wilder's favor.
Knocking him out, you think?
Yeah. I mean, he's just that big of a puncher. If he touches you twice, you're probably not going to.
But he's already he tattooed him a couple of times, and he took the punch.
No. He knocked him out.
Yeah.
He got back up, but he knocked him out.
Unbelievable.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, he was out. He even admitted it. He was like, I have no idea where I was or how I got up, but
He doesn't even remember any of that.
Right. So, I mean, he did knock him out. He proved he could do it. Now it's just a matter of
doing it again.
Yeah, and for the entirety of the count.
Wow. I think it's going to be an exciting fight. You saw them at the press conference yesterday. These guys
pushed each other.
They clearly don't like each other. And I get some of it's marketing and PR, whatever. But these guys really, really don't like each other.
They are two huge human beings.
Yeah, Wilder's a small one, and he's 6'7".
Yeah, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
He's 6'7". He's the small one.
It's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of showmanship. I think after the fight's over, you know, they'd actually probably get along because, you know, that's just how boxing is. You got to sell tickets. You know what I mean?
Throughout the years, we've seen real rivalries where guys just really don't like each other at all.
You'd be surprised what happens when they're in the same gym, though.
Oh, really?
Or like when they're in the same space outside. It's a lot like wrestling. You know, like
but we know that's mostly, you know, staged.
That's the difference is you're told that. And it's because boxing is a very small community. You know, you run into the same people over and over again, no matter where you go. So it's like I never buy into the pre-fight hype. You know, it's really just about and I wish that they didn't do that quite as much. Or if they did, at least, you know, like just tell people, hey, you're going overboard for the reason. You want to hype the fight up. But it's really about who's the better athlete on the night in question.
In Fury's last fight, he was going against a guy that he was supposed to destroy.
Yeah.
I think he was a 30-1 favorite, and this guy took him the distance. Does that kind of performance prior to a fight like this play into either his training, his conditioning, his psyche, how he approaches this differently against a monster like Wilder?
The other problem with Fury is his inconsistency throughout his career. You know, like the ups and downs.
They're both undefeated, correct?
Right. But the personal issues, you know, it almost ruined his career entirely. You know, so
his out of the ring stuff.
Right. Wilder is like the consummate professional. Like he's never involved in out of the ring shenanigans. So
always in shape, always doing the right thing, never getting in trouble, always conditioning.
And I want to say while I'm here that it's a crying shame that Deontay Wilder does not have the entirety of America flocking around him.
Why? Because Why he's not? An American fighter. You mean going up against
He's not just an American fighter. He's everything the boxing fans have been clamoring for since Mike Tyson.
So why do you think there isn't as much fanfare or support of him?
Do you want me to say it? Do you want me to actually say it?
Go ahead. I mean, we're open here.
Because he's black.
But we've had other black heavyweights before.
No. He's black and he's not a villain.
Oh, I see, like Tyson.
He's black and he's not somebody that you're scared of.
Interesting.
He's a black fighter. He gave up a basketball scholarship to take care of a crippled daughter. Most people don't even know that.
No, I didn't either. That's an incredible story, by the way.
Friend talked him into joining a boxing gym to stay in shape. 1 year later, he's the number one U.S. amateur. Then he goes to the Olympics, wins a bronze medal. He's the only medalist in that class. Then he becomes a professional, and he's such a dominant champion that everybody who's ever been in the ring with him has hit the deck.
He's knocked everyone down.
Everyone. No one has made it out of a fight with him still
without going
feet.
Down at least once.
Right. So for years, boxing fans have been saying, we need another dominant heavyweight champion who knocks everybody out.
And here
out.
He is.
And you have it.
And no one's supporting him the way they should.
No. And not only that, but people massively criticize. Like, you hear a lot of, like, he's not that good. I don't know about his boxing skill. His boxing skill is enough that no one can stay off the floor.
Right, and he's undefeated.
And he's undefeated.
Well, I agree with you then. You know, we should be supporting him a lot more, given
whereas a guy like Tyson Fury has all, like I said, the out-of-the-ring shenanigans. And then did you see in the build-up he said he strengthened his jaw by giving cunnilingus?
Nope. Did not know that.
And he gets...
I thought he said he was a cunning linguist.
And he gets this.
I know that's not going to make
word.
The final
it's
show.
It's not a bad word.
It's
Mom?
Scientific.
Yes, I made sure to use that term because I'm a boxing guy. I was going to say it the other way.
If I knew I could strengthen my chin like that, I'd be doing a lot more practicing.
But could you? Now, here's the thing. Here's what I tell
people. I think I've got the strongest chin in the room.
Here's what I tell people. It's not that he said that. People think it's hilarious. That's great. But imagine if Deontay said
it. Right, they'd be all over him.
Yeah, mark that time.
I know exactly what you mean.
They'd be all over
him. And it seems like all of Europe is behind Fury because he's their countryman.
He's their guy.
And we're not supporting Wilder the way we should be. So people, pay attention. It's time for us to start rooting for Deontay Wilder. He's our best American heavyweight in Lord knows how long. He's going to be fighting tonight at MGM Grand Garden Arena. So
tomorrow,
go out and
tomorrow,
support
Saturday.
Him. Yeah. Go out and support him. Okay. And make sure you're waving your flag for Deontay tomorrow night.
Absolutely. Get behind the guy. You know, he's a down-home country boy from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Yeah.
You know, like he's got the bombs. You know, what more do you want from the guy? He always shows up in shape. He's a consummate professional. He's ready to go.
When was the last time that we had great heavyweight champs?
It's been a long time.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
I mean, there was Tyson, Holyfield.
But what was that, 10 years ago at least, right?
No, more.
More. There's usually one per 20? Every that period of time, though. You know, like they don't come out of a factory. You know, like,
right. But he's saying you had more than one heavyweight, like with a good battle. Tyson Holyfield's probably the last one.
For us.
Although we had Lennox Lewis.
Right.
For us. But the interesting thing is if you look at the past 20 years in boxing, Europe, they're perfectly happy with it.
Yeah, they're dominating.
Right. They're fine. They love boxing.
I'm just going to say that every other country seems to put their big heavyweight in getting all the PR and you know about them. We don't know about them like a sport.
Like it's a sport.
Sure.
You know, they're on the sports pages. They're on the covers. And we're just like, why do you want to fight? You know, like that's... We hear that a lot as a boxing trainer, like, you know, somebody wants
to... But people still say that? Like, why do you want to fight?
Yeah.
Because that's what boxers do.
Why don't you, like, play football or baseball or basketball?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I don't want to play with balls, that's why.
Let's talk about your gym. How long has Johnny Tucko
Tuklas was established in 53 and moved to Vegas in 55.
And you've been with him for quite a while now.
Yeah, about 10 years. 10 years.
Wow.
And how old do kids have to be before they can start training?
Normally, the minimum is 6, and then we'll pick up a 5-year-old if they can focus. You know, if they're, because, you know, we're not babysitters. But if they can focus, we'll do 5 years old, and then from any age beyond that.
Now, I've been following you on social media. You've had a couple of champions coming out of your gym recently. Yeah. You want to talk about them?
My my heavyweight amateur, Mark Anthony Miranda.
How old is that kid?
19 years old.
That's a big dude.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He was the smaller one in that fight.
Okay.
He's bigger than me, but I posted a fight where he fought a guy out of Mayweather's gym, Antonio Zepeda, and he's like 6'7".
That's the dude that was next to you that was huge. And how old is that kid?
I don't know. I'm not sure. He was a linebacker for UNLV, I think.
Yeah, he looked like a linebacker.
But Mark Anthony just won the Nevada State Golden Gloves. So
wow.
He'll be on to the regionals where he has to compete against Washington, Oregon. I'm not sure if Utah's in there or not, in Arizona. Then if he wins that, he gets to go to nationals.
And what weight class is he in?
Super heavyweight.
Heavyweight. So that's over how much?
201 plus.
201 plus.
Yeah, but, wow. He was 260.
Jesus, I'd be a super heavyweight. That's not fair. Yeah.
He was 260 when he started with me. At the last fight, he weighed 228 fully clothed.
Wow.
Yeah, so he's gotten in very good shape, and eventually we're going to move him down to regular heavyweight, which is 201.
I got you.
Like 201 and below.
I got a question.
Yeah.
What do you, as a trainer, as a coach, what do you do with these athletes? Because I'm going to call them, they are athletes,
mm-hmm.
that come in. How do you train them? Do you get them on the weights? Do you get them on calisthenics?
No.
Do you get them on ice?
Teaching,
what do you do?
Teaching boxing is like teaching dance. Like, everybody thinks that they know what to do when a fight happens. You don't. Because the truth is, fighting betrays all your instincts. Like, your first instinct is to run or hide or cover up. And the truth is, if you do any of those things, you're probably going to get beat up. So you have to learn move by move how to answer the questions.
And balance.
Yeah, with
when
balance.
When you make that move.
With balance. So, like, every time you try to hit me, you're asking a question. You know, you're asking me, am I for real? Do I actually know how to fight? I have to know the answers to those questions.
Interesting.
So that's a great way to look at it. Yeah,
I teach the answers to the questions and then teach them how to put it together to make a statement.
Being a former pitcher,
yep.
You always talk about throwing timing off. And I think of the same thing with
upset
fighters,
yes.
Where your timing of how you're throwing your punches, where you're throwing your punches.
When you're a pitcher, you're competing against the batter. I have to outdo you.
Boxing, he's trying to time me. I'm right. Trying to upset that timing.
Boxing is the exact same thing.
Sometimes you're doing it with power,
yeah.
And usually you're doing it with finesse.
Sometimes finesse.
Where do they have the Golden Gloves?
Normally, Barry's Boxing Gym is the hosting gym. They own the franchise, so it's wherever they do it. The state was at their gym, but I think regionals are going to be at Santa Fe Station Casino.
I really don't see anything, hardly ever, about
Yeah, it's not Gloves. Marketed all that well. You know, no slight on them. Like, they do the best they can, but it is something that the local community in boxing has changed a bit. Like, we have a new president of the local boxing commission for amateurs. So we're trying to, like, you know, beef up more stuff and, you know, get more people involved.
Let's give out your website if people are interested and they maybe want to get their kids over or they just want to come over and find out more.
The gym's website is jtboxing.com. We're also on Facebook. I'm on Facebook, Luis Monda. You know, I do 3 boxing classes a day. I'm a full-time trainer, so I don't have a day job.
This is your job. You do have your day job, but you love what you do.
Every day, all day.
And kids, if you're out there, this is great conditioning for your mind and your body. Parents, this is a great way to get your kids disciplined and also in great shape.
Yeah, and I'd say parents, don't be afraid of it. You know, like, why do you want to fight? It's a sport. It's a sport like any other sport. You're just trying to prove that you can do an athletic endeavor better than the next
at a high level.
Let me ask you a question. Is a key word that people go against is that the word fight? It's really not a fight. You learn to box.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that, and then it's also, like, pacifist culture in the U.S., you know, like...
Very much so.
Anti-fighting. You know,
sure.
Like, I read a really nice article that was called Let the Boys Fight that talked about if you let school kids get out their aggression, there'd probably be a lot less shootings. You know, so, like, we try to provide an outlet for them to channel that energy.
Listen, we all grew up fighting in the schoolyard.
Right.
I mean, it was just,
right. It was just
the way it was.
The thing that happened. So,
and I played hockey. We fought all the time, yeah. Even in high school.
We just bring organization to that. You know what I mean? Like, so it's I try to tell parents, don't look at it that way as, like, it's automatically negative just because they want to be involved in it.
I always bring up the point as an athlete that ability you're born with.
Right.
You learn technique. You enhance that technique with do it again, do it again, right. do it again.
Repetition.
Repetition.
One thing I love about pitching, I saw this in a movie, 28 Days, where Viggo Mortensen played a pitcher.
Sure.
And he was explaining to Sandra Bullock that once you let go of the ball, you have no more say. Like, once you let go of the ball, like, what happens down there is someone else's job. So you don't even try to aim at a specific spot. The only thing you control is your form.
You know what I used to do with some of my pitches? I used to put a blindfold on them.
Yeah.
And I said, now pitch.
Yeah.
Coach, I can't see the plate.
Doesn't matter.
Muscle memory.
Right.
Muscle memory right. is key. And they'd look at me like, I can't do it. And about the sixth or seventh pitch, they throw it right down the middle.
Yeah.
And it comes back to them automatically.
Automatically.
Because you learn how to control how you throw, not where.
There's a famous NBA game from about 20 years ago with Michael Jordan. And he goes to the free throw line and he's talking to Dikembe Mutombo.
Right.
And he goes, Dikembe, this is for you. Closes his eyes, swish.
Yep. Because it's all in the technique. So
Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
The best.
Number 23.
The best.
I want to thank Louis Mondo for coming in from Johnny Tocco.
Thank
located
you,
located on Charleston and Main, JTBoxing.com. Charleston and Main.
Yep.
Yeah, I said it right.
You got it.
And we've been there. Jeffrey and I did a live broadcast from there. It's a great place.
It's a real gym. I mean, this is what you think of a boxing gym when you go into a gym. It's an old school gym. Nothing fancy.
Feels like you might get beat up.
Yeah, well, you know what? That's a good feeling.
Yeah.
Either in the gym or outside of the gym. Yep. So anything could happen, but we appreciate you coming in, Louis.
Absolutely.
Thank you, my friend.
Much.
We're going to take a short break.
Thank
Jonathan you, Scott here on Vegas Nonstop. Absolutely. Stay right where you are for more Vegas Nonstop.
The game.
Well, all I'm trying to find out is what's the guy's name on first base?
No. What is on second base?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
That's what I'm trying to find out.
Well, don't change the players.
I'm not changing nobody.
Take it easy.
What's the guy's name on first base?
What's the guy's name on second base?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
He's on third. We're not talking about him.
How did I get on third base?
You mentioned his name.
If I mention a third baseman's name, who did I say is playing third?
No, who's playing first?
Stay off of first, will you?
Well, what do you want me to do?
Now, what's the guy's name on third base?
Well, what's on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
He's on third.
There I go, back on third again.
Well, I can't change their names.
Will you please stay on third base, Mr. Broadhurst?
Hey, now, what is it you want to know?
What is the fella's name on third base?
What is the fella's name on second base?
I'm not.
Of course, that's the great Abbott
second.
And Costello, who's on first third routine. Base. Why do I play that? Because we've got our friend Neil Portnoy in here to talk about baseball with spring training right around the corner.
Today.
It starts today? Is that
today,
the first day of spring training?
Today's opening day, spring training.
Or
actually,
tomorrow.
Yesterday.
Yesterday, today, it's all
between
a Beatles
yesterday
song
and today, all the teams will have played their first spring training game.
I appreciate Louis Mondo coming in, and just a little note about Johnny Tocco Gym. Adults are also invited to come and train there also, so we appreciate Louis coming in all the time. And also thanks to Enoch Augustus Scott from Zombie Burlesque. So, gentlemen, where would you like to start talking about baseball? Would you like to start talking about the Houston Astros and the sign-stealing drama, if you will, and are they going to get beaned, and is there going to be chin music, and what's going to be happening this season? Neil, you want to start it off?
I know Neil's got plenty to say about this.
Yeah, listen, having played the game, having played the mental part of the game, a lot of people have been saying that the commissioner is in hot water right now. With the players, yeah. That, don't get involved. Do I get involved? The cheating stuff has been going on for years. Technology over the years has changed. So the cheating technology grew into what they found Houston was doing and a number of other teams that hasn't come out yet, I might add, has been doing. You don't take away their rings. You don't take away the championship. You can't go backwards. You can put certain things in place to prevent it from ever happening again because it does change the game.
No garbage cans in the stadium?
No, listen. You still have to hit a 95-mile-an-hour fastball even if you know it's coming.
Well, hold on. You and I were just talking about timing.
Sure.
When you're a hitter and you know you're getting heat, you can adjust for that a lot better than if you don't know it's coming.
What can't you adjust for in a pitch?
Can I adjust for?
Yeah.
Change up?
Movement.
Right.
Movement.
I understand.
Ted Williams once said to me, Coach, you got to let him hit the ball. Don't let him hit the whole ball. So even if you know a curveball is coming, even if you know a fastball is coming, you got to square it up. Ted said to me on two occasions, the toughest thing to do in any sport is to square up a round object. impossible to do. So even though you know a curveball is coming, they talked about Kershaw. You know, nobody hit Kershaw's curveball. How the hell did it get hit in the playoffs? Well, they knew it was coming. He still got to hit it. You got to square it up. You can hit it, but you're going to pop it up.
The home run that Altuve hit off of Chapman. High and away.
Yeah.
And he's my size.
Location. How does he know the location of the pitch?
He doesn't know the location,
but at least he knew there was a heater coming.
You're going to gear up for that. Listen, you don't sit on anything but fastball from Chapman. Hello.
Got one pitch.
You know, you don't. So kudos to Altuve, who's a great hitter and a great fastball hitter. Can hit any fastball.
And how about when he's coming to home plate and he says, don't jump on me, don't rip my shirt off, because he's got that buzzer attached to him.
Now you're playing with words.
I don't know.
We don't know.
I know.
We don't know.
I know.
You know, before I forget, I want to mention your gallery, the Portnoy Gallery. You've got an event Saturday from 1 to 4. I don't know if it's an open house?
No, it's the unveiling.
Invite
the
20, only?
No, the public is invited. We are unveiling the new inductees into the 2020 Portnoy Wall of Honor.
How many are there?
There are 38 new inductees this year. And we expect well over 100 people at the gallery. It'll be packed.
Saturday, 1 to 4 p.m. What's the address?
1537 West Oakey Boulevard, on the corner of Weston and Oakey.
Yeah. So, and the website is idrawpeople.com. I just want to make sure we got correct. That out. Thank before you. We ran out of time, as sometimes I forget to get your website out
never.
There. All right. So anything more
on
Houston?
Let's get past Houston. There are some allegations that should be coming out about some other teams. We have not heard that yet. We'll see what MLB comes from. But Neil and I, being Red Sox fans, we had to see our boy Mookie get traded to the Dodgers last week.
He'll be back next year.
Huh?
Free agent after the year.
Come on. I don't think he wants to stay
watch
in Boston.
Watch what happens.
All right. Here's the odds to win the World Series as of the morning line. New York Yankees are 3-1. Dodgers are 7-2. Astros are 8-1. Atlanta Braves 14-1. Washington Nationals, which Jeffrey thought this was a good bet,
at 16-1. That's the best value on the board. They're the champs. Who did they lose?
16-1. How many times in history has it been a repeat?
It's been a few times, but no one's done it since the Yankees.
Yeah, probably
98, 99, I believe.
The Twins are 18-1, and the Mets are 18-1.
Watch out for Tampa Bay.
Always. They just can't get over the hump, unfortunately.
Well, this may be the year.
The hump.
I mean, listen, the Dodgers are I mean, as
how do you
as
bet
stacked,
against the Dodgers?
As stacked as they've ever been. How do you bet against the Yankees now?
Injury.
With Gerrit Cole leading that rotation now.
We'll see.
I don't know.
We'll see.
I still think you have a team like the Nationals that did it the way they did it. They're grinders. They still have Scherzer. They still have some great pitching in that rotation.
Their baseman's gone.
Who's that? Rendon?
Rendon's gone.
Yeah, I know. And he's a big part of it. Don't get me
clubhouse
wrong.
Clubhouse chemistry, Rendon's gone.
True.
We talked about that clubhouse.
And we know how important that third base glove is come playoff time with defense.
Yep. You win with pitching and defense and timely hitting. Not great hitting.
Well, and
timely
and
hitting.
Not to mention, he was about as timely a hitter as you're going to find.
No, that's what I mean. You know,
he was like Big Poppy this last year.
It's going to be hard to repeat. You know, getting to the Yankees, of course. You know,
Giancarlo Stanton back?
Yeah,
he's back, and he's going to have a comeback year. I just.
With 250 strikeouts.
You know what? You can still win 106 games. You got to make it through the playoffs.
Correct.
You're throwing a lot of innings, even though the Yankees, if they're leading after five innings with that bullpen, you know, game over.
They have a great bullpen. That's
the variable with the New York Yankees. Not all the hitting, not their frontline, you know, starters. To me, it's the bullpen. Can their bullpen repeat what they've done for the last 2 years? That's the question mark that I have.
I'm still looking at Stanton. It says his first year with the Yankees, he hit 38 homers in 2018.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but I mean, come on, look at that lineup. He's got protection in front of him, behind him. He's got Judge. He's got DD. I mean, he's got so many bats.
DD's gone.
I know Didi's gone this year, but I'm saying in the past,
yeah, correct.
Yeah.
Yep, I mean,
he's had some tremendous, tremendous bats around him.
I still say it's going to be very hard to beat the Dodgers. That team is stacked.
Listen, as a baseball fan, I would love to see a Yankees-Dodgers World Series. I'm not going to lie.
Everybody
East
would.
Coast, West
I think
Coast.
Everybody would.
The networks would love
it. No, the networks will love it. You don't want to see that? No?
The networks will hate it. Dodgers,
I don't know.
Red Sox was the worst rated World Series in history.
Watch out for Tampa Bay.
No way.
NASCAR's in town, gentlemen. And you know, we've got some locals. Kyle Busch. I know it's not your idea of a good time, Jeffrey with a G.
Not for me, but that's, listen, I'm sure there's still thousands of people out there that love NASCAR. It's just not my
thing. Just keep looking left.
A lot of left
keep
turns.
Keep the signal to the left on.
Yeah.
We're going. It's be my first time going to NASCAR. I think.
Oh, I've been. I've been to a couple of them.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
And you didn't have a good time?
They're okay.
Do you need headphones?
Yes, it's very loud. It's ridiculously loud.
Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely want to protect your ears because it's wild.
How about the Daytona, the kid getting out of the car and just walking away?
Not out of the car, out of the hospital.
He just walked out of the hospital.
With his kids.
With his kids.
I know.
Yeah, amazing.
I
love auto racing, and I just watched the movie Fast and Furious, or not Fast and Furious, but Ferrari and
Ford versus Ferrari.
Yeah. That, which I thought was a great movie. I haven't seen it.
I got to see the movie.
I haven't seen that either. That's on my list as well.
It was very well
done. I want to see the dog movie, but you just,
the dog movie.
But you told me it's computer generated. I thought it was a real dog because he had great expressions. You know, I don't know. Now I'm really bummed.
Yeah, Buck the dog is computer generated.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah.
I was going to get a dog just like him.
Call of the Wild, and yeah.
You can take your Tampa Bay Rays to win the World Series at 23-1.
That's not a bad. I'm telling you.
That's just a tough division to come out of.
All you got to do is be the wild card.
I got to tell you, I think they have Boston's win total too low, too.
What do they got, 86?
Something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, this team is still solid even without Mookie in there.
They're better without David Price. Sorry. I don't know about that. He's come always on. Injured.
In the last 2 years, he's been doing very well for us, both starting and coming out of the bullpen, and he's pitched some really good serious innings.
Not denying it, but he's always injured. You know, Chaim, can I say Chaim?
Chaim, I can say it that way.
As long as you said it the right way.
Yeah, you know,
Boston's regular season wins, 83.5.
Yeah, it's gonna. You know what? I wouldn't be surprised they win 88, 90 games.
And you can bet on that. The odds are posted now on how many game wins the teams are going to have.
Yeah, these are called team totals, team wins.
Yeah, you can bet those.
This kid they picked up from the Dodgers, the outfielder.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's a young
player,
kid. Verdugo, right?
Yeah, he's a good player.
He's young, but listen, if he can turn into the kind of player that the Dodgers obviously thought he was.
Listen, we got a Jeter on our team now. That's all I care about.
We're going to have a lot of fun, and we're going to go to the Cubs exhibition game at the new stadium. That's going to be a good time. That's coming up.
When is that?
Soon, in March. Coming up right away. I want to thank, of course, Enoch Augustus Scott from Zombie Burlesque, Louis Manda from Johnny Toco Boxing Stadium, Neil Portnoy from Portnoy Gallery, Jeffrey with a G, Line 1, go ahead. And my name is Jonathan Scott. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Again, you can catch us at our website at VegasNonstop.com. And as always, I want to thank Jared, our board operator.
Yay.
And as always, my friends, eat well and party hard.